You are listening to Losing Weight with ADHD, the podcast to help you discover solutions to well-being, improved health, and sustainable weight loss with ADHD. If you're a woman with ADHD who is tired of trying every diet and weight loss program with no lasting success, I understand exactly where you are, and I want to help you to finally see the change you deserve. I'm your host, Jennifer Watts, an accountant turned nutrition and life coach with ADHD myself. Once I discovered the connections between ADHD and my lifelong struggle with weight, I was finally able to make lasting change in a way that felt great. If you want to do the same, then let's get started. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode, which I am attempting to record for the third time. I recorded it once earlier today, and I just, when I listened back to it, I was like, this just isn't right, because I was just going off on tangents. Which I'm very compassionate with myself about, because you know what? I have ADHD. This is what I do. Go off on these tangents, but sometimes can't find my way back. And it just happens. So I came out and was complaining about it to my husband, and he was just, he empathized and was like, I couldn't even do it. So it's okay. But then I went to record it again, and I don't know what I did. I hit some button. I was like 15 minutes into it, and I just screwed it up. So here we go again. Hopefully it works this time. Okay, so what I was going to talk about, what I'm going to talk about for the third time today, is dieting and white-knuckling your way down the scale and why that doesn't really work. And when I think about it, like in this concept of like, you know, this urgency that we often feel of like, I just want to lose the weight and be done with it. I just want to get down to like my goal weight, and then I can like worry about all this stuff. I'll just like eat really well from there on in. Like, but I just want to lose the weight. So like, let's just get this over and done with as quickly as possible. That's totally normal to feel that way. And especially when you have ADHD, like we can be really impatient and we can fixate on something and be like, this is just all I want to do. And you know, it's funny when I think about fixating, like we can also like really just kind of get stuck in and like immerse ourselves in weight loss to the point of like a super extended hyper focus where it almost becomes like your identity, that you're like this person who's losing weight. I have totally been there. Like I can think specifically of certain times when I've lost weight where that was it. Like it consumed me. That was my identity. I was like the girl losing weight. But what happens when that goes, like when it's over? Right? Like when you don't have that weekly dopamine hit of the scale going down and nobody's like noticing anymore, like, oh, you look like you've lost weight. And then if that's been like your whole identity this whole time and now you're there, then it's like, now what? And more often than not, I know this was my case, then the weight just comes back on because nothing's really changed. Like, I swear there's been times I have lost weight so many times, like so many times. And usually the weight starts to come back on. I swear it's like within a matter of hours. Like it is, I do not stay at that weight for very long. And like, I mean, now I feel like in retrospect, I can see why. But even in times when I might have been following a diet plan so specifically and precisely, in the end, it didn't really work for me. And one other thing, like thinking about it in terms of people with ADHD, is that when we're trying to follow a plan, like a weight loss plan or program or something like that, you are throwing all of your energy into this, right? You're planning, you're, you know, trying to like follow things along, you're trying to be organized, and it uses up a lot of your working memory and your cognitive function and your all of that stuff, which we already don't have a lot of comparatively to other people. Like ours might not be functioning at the same level as other people's. And we get drained from that so much more easily, right? Because it takes mental effort, and then you get stressed out, you're burnt out, you're overwhelmed, and then you feel like you just can't do it anymore, but you don't really see that that's what's causing it. And then that creates even more like emotional strain. And then it's just this whole cycle. And all of a sudden you're just like, screw it. Like I actually read that psychologists call it the what the hell effect. And this was based off of like a 2010 study that they did at the University of Toronto. It had to do with like pizza and cookies, and then people that were dieting went crazy on the cookies when they were given to them. And anyways, it was from this whole thing, they started calling it the what the hell effect, when you kind of slightly go off plan or, you know, diverge, is that the right word? from your quote unquote diet. And then you just think, what the hell? I'm just gonna, like, I screwed everything up. What's the point? So anyhow, you know, it's not to say that you can't actually see success from just following a specific plan and that's all you're doing. Because, that's worked for me in the past. But when we think that's worked for me, did it really? Because you gained all the weight back. So, I mean, physically, like, technically, you could say that diets do work. But that's where this whole concept comes from, right? So I'm sure you've probably heard people say diets don't work. You know, 95% of diets fail. And where this comes from, where this statistic comes from, is it's some compilation, I believe, of studies. Just that statistic is people who have lost weight and gained it back. It's something like 95%. Like when you look a certain time period down the road after this weight loss, that most people have gained it all back. And then some, quite often. So what's really happening here, right? Like, you know, I often think of, and this is sort of what spurred on this whole thing for me, is I kept thinking, wherever you go, there you are, right? Because you're still you. You're still you. Even though you may have lost all this weight. And we always think we're going to feel so differently. Like, I'm going to be so confident. I am going to be like a new person. I'm going to be so calm and I'm going to be so, like, you know, I'm just going to have it together. I'm just going to have it together. But you know what? Following a diet plan actually does not change you in that way. It's a sad and empty feeling to get there and then realize that nothing actually changed. To me, it's so synonymous with the feeling that I had when I realized that I was dissatisfied with my life overall. Like, I kind of had like a midlife crisis. Like, it's easy to laugh about it now, but like, I on paper had like the perfect life. I was successful in my career. I have a great marriage, a beautiful house, 3 amazing kids, like vacation property, like everything. And I was miserable. And like, that is nothing to do with like my family. Like, I love my husband and I love my kids and all of that stuff. But it was just like, you know, I built my life around all these expectations of what I thought I was supposed to be pursuing and realized that that wasn't what I wanted, right? And it's kind of the same thing with like this whole thing. We really think that if we just diet our way down the scale, then we're going to be happy. And it's so disappointing after you put in all that work and you get there and you realize, like, I didn't actually change anything. Like, I thought this is what I was supposed to do and what was going to make me happy, and I'm not. Anyhow, that's a lot to me. That's a lot of why we get there and we just kind of like panic, and then we just end up reverting to our same selves. And I don't want it to sound like a bad thing when I say you're still going to be you when you lose weight, because there's nothing wrong with you. Like, anyways, it just, like, I think examining why is such an important thing. That's a big part of this. And we do talk about why a lot with weight loss. If you're going any further than just like, what am I actually putting in my mouth and what kind of movement am I doing? You might have thought about or been told to think about, what's your why for losing weight, right? Like, oh, and whatever your why is your why, and it's okay, right? It might be, you know, when I have grandkids, I want to be able to play with them, or it doesn't matter. It could be something as simple as like, I want to look hot in this dress that I have that I got 10 years ago and I really want to fit into it. And that's your why. And that's amazing, because your why is your why. But I think oftentimes, like, we don't think about the other why, which is, why did we get here in the first place? And that, it's hard to say that sometimes, because, you know I feel defensive when I think, even when I ask myself that question, I feel defensive sometimes, right? Because it's tough and it's painful and it's uncomfortable to think about. But one thing I can tell you is that the answer is not that you're lazy. The answer is not because you're stupid. The answer is not because you know, you don't know how to eat properly. You don't know what balanced meals look like. That's not true. None of that is true. And I think so many of us have felt that way or been led to believe that it's because we're lazy people that that's why we're overweight. It's not true. I still think it's important to look at why. And this is not to say that everybody must have some deep, painful, you know, deeply traumatic reason why they're overweight. For some people, that's true. It's so important to look at that stuff. But that might not be the case for you. I mean, it's different for everybody. But, you know, overeating and the habits that we have that got us here in the first place, they've all served a purpose. And a big part of successfully losing weight is looking at what purpose did it serve? Because you weren't doing it just for the sake of it. I mean, food, sometimes we are, right? Like, so there are occasions where you're eating just because it tastes good. But, you know, for however long that you have felt this way of wanting change, it's just really important to look at why. And I know it's uncomfortable. I know that. But this is one of those cases where we have to choose which discomfort we're going to be willing to be in. Because there's the discomfort of examining and looking inside yourself and trying to understand yourself and be curious, but that's going to lead to better outcomes for yourself and really understanding yourself and getting to know yourself and being able to implement change. So there's that discomfort, but there's also the discomfort of just staying the same way, you know? Like, at least with the discomfort of looking inside of yourself and then maybe making changes that are not super easy at first, you know that you're taking care of yourself when you do these kind of things. But if we just maintain the status quo, it's sort of, you know, this perpetual discomfort anyhow. So why not choose the discomfort that's leading you places and that you're doing from a place of really, like, love, you know, or even just befriending yourself, you know. Another reason why I think it's sort of a weird, uncomfortable topic is because, like, a lot of people don't want to believe that there's a reason why. Like, I do have, like, there's clients that I've worked with who will say, you know, I'm not an emotional eater. I don't experience specific stresses. Like, they really don't think there's a reason why. I've come to the conclusion that with that is that sometimes we've just done things to escape feelings, even if it's just discomfort, boredom, whatever the case may be. Sometimes we've done it for so long that we're not even aware that that's what we're doing. And that's okay. But, like, it's important to find ways to uncover that. And that's not what I'm saying is to go back, dig deep down and try to find traumas. Like, that is not at all what I'm saying. But just really being honest with yourself and taking a look at what's going on and really get to know yourself. Because, I don't know, there's no harm in really getting to know yourself. But anyhow, I just really wanted to stress that there's really two different whys involved when it comes to weight loss. But, you know, one thing that I want you to do, just take a few minutes here to do this, is I want you to think back to a time in your life when you felt good, when you were maybe somewhat happy with your body. And I know that maybe some people don't have a time like that in their lives, but just do your best to think back to a time in your life when you felt pretty good, right? So think back to then and think, you know, what was going on in your life? Like, how are you feeling on a day-to-day basis? What kind of things were you doing? What was different then than it is now? And when you think back to that time, it's probably, you know, you probably have different circumstances in your life, different feelings that you're feeling. Maybe you can notice that you're caring for yourself in different ways. But I bet you you didn't think back to that time and think, wow, that time in my life was so much better because I was sticking to a diet 100% of the time. Like, that's probably not what made your life feel good at that point, right? So why would you think that going on a diet is the answer to get you to feeling better? It's just not, you know? And it's probably the same too. Like, when you imagine your life, if you imagine yourself in the future when you have reached your goals, and I do this all the time. I think it's so important. And I know I'm probably harping on and on about this all the time, but future you, future self, when you picture them, you in the future, it's probably not all about how you look. I mean, that's part of it, I'm sure, but you probably want to feel a certain way and be doing certain things and, you know, behaving certain ways and having relationships in a certain way. All of these things, right, are so much more than just the food that you're eating. So we can't just ignore everything but the food. And we have to remember that the overeating is serving a purpose, and we have to address that if we want to have any kind of lasting change. So this is why, to me, it's so important to just simplify things as much as possible, because I did talk before about how, you know, we can get really drained really easily with the cognitive stuff. But, you know, in terms of what to actually do, you know what to do. Like, I don't think that that's a mystery to any of us. And that's why I just don't think that, like, working with somebody or following a diet plan is really the answer, because you already know what to do. So if somebody is just giving you a diet plan or a meal plan or telling you to eat a specific ratio of like macros or certain amount of calories or something and ignoring everything else, that's not really going to help you, because that's information that you probably don't actually even need. I mean, of course, like, there's science behind things like macro, whatever, all that stuff. I'm not saying that stuff doesn't work, like, in a black and white point of view. But what I am saying is that you cannot just focus on that and expect to have lasting change. And you probably already know this, but I just want to be the caring, loving reminder for you that it's okay that it's hard, but it's probably necessary to look at the other things in your life if you want to really, really care for yourself in this way. You know, when we approach it in that way, when we deal with things rather than just dieting our way down, you're going to find that you probably are not going to have this constant low-grade kind of panic or fear that the weight is all just going to come back on. Because you're going to know when you're doing it in a way that is lasting and sustainable for yourself, when you're making real change. And it's just, like, I don't want you to feel like this whole diets don't work thing is just like a total downer and like, what's the point? Why should I even bother? Because, you know, there's this whole thing called the National Weight Control Registry. It's like this big study thing where they followed. It's based on 4,000 people who have lost at least 30 pounds and kept it off for at least a year. So there are these people out here who have done this successfully and maintained weight loss. So it is possible. I mean, we know it's possible. But like, some of the things that they have examined with these people that have really worked for them is things like self-monitoring. And that doesn't mean you have to be like tracking calories or anything like that. Like, it could just be, you know, noting what you're doing or being mindful and paying attention and having some form of self-monitoring, whatever works for those people. They're also planning their meals and they incorporate exercise. And this study, this registry thing, says that people who plan their meals are 1.5 times more likely to be able to maintain their weight loss. So I just wanted to throw those things in there because I wanted to make sure that I wasn't just like making you feel like, what's the point? None of this works anyways, because that is not at all what I'm saying. I think the biggest thing that I want to help you to realize and kind of approach things with is this thought of choice, right? Like, I'm choosing to do this. And I know it might be uncomfortable. And I know there's more of it for me to consider than just the food that I'm putting into my mouth. And just thinking of it from that approach of like, I'm choosing to do this rather than I have to, or somebody told me to, because that's the worst. But just like, I'm choosing to do this because I'm going to care about myself. I know it's hard for some people to get to that point of saying, because I love myself. That's a big stretch for some people. But just thinking of it from that perspective, of like not being afraid to get to know yourself and show yourself some compassion like we talked about last week. But I am choosing this because that makes it a lot more doable too when you get through those, you know, peaks and valleys of times when it might feel really hard if you were just dieting and there's nothing to keep you going. But if you do it because I'm learning to understand myself and I know why I was making these choices before, but now I'm going to make different choices because I'm choosing to change because I care for myself. So I don't know. Am I going to re-record this for a fourth time? I don't think so. I think I'm just going to stick with this. Sometimes it's really hard, you guys. Sometimes it's really hard to like get all of these thoughts out of my head and through to this microphone and out to you. But I just wish there was some way I could really let you all know that you totally have this within you. I know you do. And I know I talk a lot about, you know, ways that we might face challenges that are a little different than a neurotypical person. And I never say this to make you feel like things are hard or insurmountable or like there's no hope. I never, never want to make you feel like that. What I do want you to see is that sometimes we just have to approach things more, you know, in a different manner. But also, I just really want you to look inside and really care for yourself because you're totally worth it and you totally can do this too. And don't let somebody tell you to just go on a diet. Stop it. You tell them I said to stop it because that's not the answer for you. Anyhow, I hope this helps. I hope it made sense. Please reach out to me if you ever have questions about it or if you're not sure about something that I said or you want more information about anything at all. I am here. I love to talk to you and I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thank you for listening to the Losing Weight with ADHD podcast. If you are ready to make lasting change in your life, please head over to my Instagram at jenniferwatts.ca, where you can connect with me and find all the tools and tips you need. From there, you can also access my free guide of the Calm Method for Weight Loss with ADHD, or book a free call with me. I'd love to hear from you, so please reach out, especially if you have anything you would like to hear about on the show. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and head on over to Apple Podcasts and leave me a 5-star review so the show can continue to spread this message. Until next time.